Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. What did you and your friends do as teenagers?
Like, I lived, like, you know, Dazed and Confused. We'd just get drunk on the weekends until the cops came and everyone knew what fences were easy to climb. And now I'm shit-faced. And I haven't been this drunk yet in my life. I'm 16. This is the drunkest I've ever been because I would try to impress a girl. That would be a recurring pattern for 20 more years.
Today on Storyworthy, actor-comedian John Gabris talks about his life as a teenager and overconsumption. Stick around.
Hey, it's John Gabris, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. And I'm so glad you guys tuned in today, whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener. Welcome to Storyworthy. And I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week with comedian Matt Ritter. And this guy, John Gabris, had a story that was just, it was off the hook. First of all, the title of the story was, A Horse Died in My Arms.
Oh, geez. Sounds like an old country western song.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It was such a dramatic story because he's not a horse guy, but he found himself in this situation. His wife, his new wife, happened to grow up on a horse farm, and he happened to be at her house. And anyway, next thing you know, he's in a field with a horse who has four legs in the air.
Oh, man, that's not how they're supposed to be.
No, they're not.
It's usually the other way. Their legs are on the ground.
It was so dramatic, and then the horse would just convulse and stand up and start running around crazily and all over the field, and then all of a sudden, phoot, back on its back again.
Oh, no, that's upsetting.
Anyway, the title tells you that it does not have a good ending.
No.
The point is...
Spoiler alert.
It's a good story, so go back and listen to that, but not today, you guys, because you are here for a fabulous episode with comedian and actor John Gabris. And here's the first question, John.
Yes.
Would you say actor first or comedian first?
I don't know. I would say my accountant would call me a podcaster more than anything else.
Do you like your accountant?
I do. He's New York-based, so I get to talk about the Giants and the Yankees with him and then say, hey, am I falling apart here or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? I just landed a good accountant about 3 years ago, and it's so refreshing because I always thought that, like, for all these years I had gone to this shitty accountant and I thought that's the way it had to be. Like, it had to be a torture to go and really slog through it. And now my guy is like so good, always gets me money, and in his office the theme is the Rolling Stones.
Oh, you got to trust this guy.
He's just a
dude. He's got good taste all around.
I'm telling you.
Oh, man, this is the most adult conversation I've had in a while. I enjoy it. We're like grown-ups talking about our accountants.
It's interesting because you should say that because you do have podcasts that are more, you know, probably a much younger audience. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I think so. I think they're younger than me for a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like maybe even 18 to 23, which is a great market.
It's possible that that's who's listening to High and Mighty, or certainly my... I also have a TV nostalgia podcast, which I think hits sweeter with the 30-year-olds.
Yeah. Interesting. Now, High and Mighty, that podcast, is it like getting Doug with High?
Or no, it's more getting high is optional for my podcast.
Yeah.
It's more just me. I'm high and mighty. I believe everything I say is right, I'm also a stoned giant.
But also, Doug Benson isn't. He doesn't make people smoke pot on his show if they don't want to.
No. He doesn't force them to.
Of course
it's
not.
It's completely optional for both of us.
Yeah,
I will never let my guests smoke alone.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I mean, I started my podcast because I missed talking for long periods of time with friends
about accountants and things
like that. About whatever. I just missed being like. And one day, me and a couple of buds just stood around and talked about Predator at a bar for a long time. And I'm like, I can make a podcast that's just whatever I want it to be.
Yeah.
Because I was always struggling with, like, I don't want to every week have to find someone to tell me a story, or I'm just not good at stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, I see.
Yeah, yeah, you're. Trust me, after doing your live show a few times, you're good at stuff like this about booking people and getting asses in seats. You've got it figured out.
The producing side. Well, I'm getting better at it, but boy, I'll tell you, it takes a team of people. But anyway, the point is
I didn't want to do any work except sit down with someone and talk to them, or a group of people under different auspices. So I just came up with the idea that I mean, it's not even an idea. It's like insane for me to say I came up with the idea. My idea was to not do anything. Yeah, I just started talking to friends. I missed engaging with a friend for like an hour, so I started it for that. And now for me, it's been a great way to meet people.
That's really nice. Yeah. Man. That's awesome.
Because it's hard to meet new people when you're in your mid-30s. It's hard to meet new people anytime unless you're like seeking out. And when you're married and it's like, I'm not trying to make new friends all the time. I have a lot. But
okay, so I always say that I make one friend a year. Like really, one good friend a year.
No, but fingers crossed.
I've been in LA 21 years.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a lot of friends. You know what I mean? Now they're not coming to my gigs, but the point is like for Easter, they were here. You know what I mean? Hanging out under the egg tree.
The egg tree, the traditional egg tree. I don't know what ethnicity you are, and I'm worried to accidentally offend you, but the traditional Easter egg tree is not something I'm familiar with.
Listen, what I love about Easter really is the candy.
I'm a fan of candy. I'm a fan of food in any way. Yeah. I prefer meat over everything.
Interesting.
But because you know what it is? I have like an insatiable appetite. Mm. I'm like a huge glutton. So candy is just not enough sustenance.
But we were talking earlier that you look strong. You don't look like overweight. You don't look like, you know, Rocky May on the edge of like, this is dangerous.
It's evenly spread out on
you. You look great. Yeah. I mean, you look good. You look strong. You must do. You told me you run or what?
Yeah, I lift weights. I used to be more of a jock. I used to play rugby and football and all that jazz. Like, you know, child. Like,
what position were you in the football team? Fullback.
I played offensive line for my little fat high school boy. But then when I went to college and afterwards in Manhattan, in New York City, I played rugby for years. So that was
more.
Did
you go to a private school or something?
No, I went to a private college, yeah. But then I played men's club for like adults apparently there's a men's rugby league in USA and you can like so I played for the Village Lions. Shout out to the VLRFC.
Did you have to audition or not audition, but would you have to try out?
I called practice rehearsal once.
Yeah, right.
Oh, and then I got mocked ruthlessly. Uh-huh. I was like, guys, rehearsal's almost over. And they were like, it's called practice.
But is it like a league or is it like a, is it just it's not intramural. It's everybody can be in it or?
Yeah, everyone can play in it, but there is like starters and B-side and C-side.
Like tennis. I play a lot of tennis in the USTA. Is it like that? Like in other words, it's
it's USA Rugby runs it and we have to be like certified or whatever. And then our team, we play other teams from the area in our division and stuff. Yeah. It's an entire league, but it's not like professional. Everyone I'm playing with is just. And the best part about playing in New York City is there's so, or in, I guess, LA would be the same thing. I just haven't ever played here. The best part about playing in New York City is that there's so many foreigners. And like, you can be from anywhere and rugby is popular. You know what I mean?
That's
like, so
tennis.
So
the same as my sport.
Right.
In other words, you come together for the love of something in which otherwise you would never meet or be friends. You wouldn't. But now you have this common interest.
Like Yale bankers, Moroccan jewelers, all these people. A lot of Brits, a lot of Aussies, you know, and like you get to meet all these people in New York City all because you play the same sport. And everyone has different jobs.
It's kind of like stoners, you know? Yeah. Like we all come together for that one thing.
Yeah. Everyone's around for the safe.
Exactly.
Matter.
Lawyers, doctors. All right, so today you bring forth the topic, an evening of overconsumption. And
yes.
I think everybody, of course, pretty much everybody has had this. I
mean, oh, yeah.
Pretty much. And I always, you know, I don't have it very much anymore at all because I don't drink alcohol the way I used to in my 20s
you
and
can't,
30s.
No one should. I can't even do it anymore. Yeah.
Besides, I'm getting stoned and I don't.
That's plenty.
Yeah, I don't need to drink alcohol.
I get high and drink water or seltzer all night, I wake up in the morning feeling like a fucking monk. You know, I'm like, I am pure.
Yeah. It is. Those little sparkles, they somehow work their way down. That carbonation is so good for you. But anyway, but I hate the fact, if you do happen to overdrink or whatever, when you get the feeling of the point of no return, you know what I mean? So you're having fun, you're drinking, you're having fun, and then all of a sudden you get that feeling in your stomach like, oh shit.
Yeah, I'm very good at noticing that. My wife loves this about me. When we used to, going back to rugby, we would drink after every match. That's a rugby tradition. You host the other team. We'd all go out and get drunk together. And I would get so shit-faced because A, you did a 80-minute rugby match, so you're beat up already.
Yeah.
And B, you're trying to get shit-faced and you're racing beers against other people and stuff.
Yeah,
and
it's like a game. It's like a game.
Yeah, we do boat races, all that shit. And then if you were the man of the match, you got to chug off against the other team's man of the match. All that rugby.
What's
drink.
The boat? Wait, real quick, the boat race.
A boat race is when you line up as if we're all in like a crew boat together, but all you do is chug a beer and then turn it up over upside down on your head.
I see.
And then the person behind you drinks and so forth and so on. You race to the anchor or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I used to get super shit faced, and then I could just turn to my wife and go, get in a cab. And she's like, huh? And I'm like, get in a cab. And she could just see on the cab ride home that I'm landing. I'm just like, I know I'm like literally T-minus 40 minutes until the second we get into our Brooklyn apartment. I'm just like, limp scarecrow man. And as a 300 pounder for my wife, for me to go fully like limp in the living room, I need to be home. She can't get me from like a cab
of
into
course.
My house.
Yeah. No, of course.
So I'm such a master of my own.
But
like,
because you know where you you don't ever get sick then.
No, I don't puke.
Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. So you have at least a wall of tolerance or whatever.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, as you get older, it's really, and also you see how, well, there's so many aspects of it. It's just not as pleasurable as marijuana. It doesn't make you feel as good.
I'm a full convert.
Yeah, me too. So yeah. Anyway. But,
I still like
but
the taste of booze, of course, but I much prefer to be high than drunk.
Yeah, well, I'm anxious to hear your story about an evening of overconsumption. But before we hear John's story, you guys, I did want to remind you that you can follow me over on... No, what was I going to say? I wasn't going to say that. Before we get to John's story, I wanted to remind you guys to head over to my website, storyworthypodcast.com.
That's all.
I make it so simple.
Just go to there.
I
for fuck's sake,
God,
you're listening to this already.
What's the difference?
Just pull out the device you're on right now and open up Safari.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and then if you, of course, already subscribed to Story, fair enough. But today, why don't you take your friend's phone and just take it, man. And we go to the bathroom or something, take their phone, subscribe to Storyworthy, 5 stars, give me a good review.
Fuck it. Go into an Apple store and go on every iPad and subscribe to Storyworthy.
Yeah.
Just go right through and
do
just
click.
Do you
have any friends that are hackers?
Yeah, get Russia involved. I need more bot listeners so that my Mack Weldon ad rate goes up.
Guess what? I just got a pay rise.
I got a pay rise too.
And so did I.
That's because on the 1st of April, the national minimum wage
and the national living wage both went up.
What's more, it's your legal right to receive it.
Find out if you're due a pay rise too.
Check your pay at gov.uk/checkyourpay.
The national minimum wage.
And the national living wage.
It's a step up in pay.
All right, you guys. John Gabers is here right now. He's an actor and a comedian. And some of John's movies include The Little Hour, The Fourth Man Out on Netflix. And I have to tell you, that's a really good movie.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I was super proud of it. I didn't... That was like my first real big role in anything.
You did... everybody is so natural... It's a heartfelt movie.
Yes.
It looks good.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
the director, the Andrew Nachman, is great. Yeah, the DP.
Who
was
the DP?
Oh, man. If I can remember the DP's name.
It just looked
really
good and clean. It looked like... I mean, I don't mean to say it looked professional. Of course it was professional. But I mean, it looked like as polished as anything else I see.
We shot it in upstate New York, which is a great backdrop for the blue collar aspect of the movie. Excuse me.
And then you were in the movie Flock of Dudes, where your character is Gabrus.
That's correct.
That's a treat.
My friend Bob wrote and directed. My friend Bob, Jason, and a few other guys wrote it, and my friend Bob is directing it. And he sent me the script to read and be like, there's a part for you if you want to read it. And I get to it, and it says Gabrus, parentheses, a big fat party animal.
Oh,
and I'm like, dude, we know what I am. You don't have to call me fat. You have big already, and you have party animal, and it's my name. I think it's going to sell it, but he's like, well, for other people reading it. I'm like, well, then delete it when you send it to me.
Aww, that's
I'm
really
actually
funny.
Fine with it.
Yeah, yeah,
it's more
yeah.
of a
very
ball
funny.
Busting type sitch.
You also have been in several television shows, as you know. I don't have to tell you.
Yeah.
But Happy Endings, Workaholics, you were on At Midnight, Newsreaders, and Comedy Bang Bang. You've been in Comedy Bang Bang several times.
I think I've been on like 4 different seasons
yeah,
of different
super
bits.
Super funny. Yeah. Love all that, man.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I do Scott's the podcast a bunch, the Comedy Bang Bang podcast.
Yeah, I've
that's where
to
most
it a
people
bunch.
Know me from. I think
it's super fun. Also in your own 3 podcasts, of course, High and Mighty, like we talked about, and then Action Boys and Raised by TV. Right?
Yep, that's them. I can't believe how many podcasts I have.
And that's
I like talking.
Honestly, I mean, why not? I think it's a good thing. And you know, I do Storyworthy here, and then we also, of course, have Story Smash, which you've played the game, and we're gonna spin off this podcast to another podcast, just Story Smash, and just try to do more shows. Make Story Smash its own podcast This is breaking news.
Let's do it. Holy shit.
This is breaking news.
This is not fake news. This is breaking news. We've got the best breaking news.
It's the best. Also, you had a one-man show, Blackout Drunk.
Yes. This is actually one of the stories from my one-man show, Blackout Drunk.
Interesting.
Because that was always, much like story-worthy, a wheel, but it's a brain wheel.
Oh,
where
really?
I would just start drinking with a bartender and then start telling stories and then whatever stories I ended up. But like the Cold Cuts, this one I'm going to tell you now is one of the ones that was always in the show.
Did you have a wheel?
No. I'm a mental wheel. Like I would just be like, whatever's coming up. And I would get legit shit-faced. I would drink like 10 to 12 beers in about an hour on stage, chugging against the audience. This was when I was doing it in New York, it was peak icing. So people were rolling Smirnoff ices on stage and I would have to like take a knee and chug it. And it was a real bro show, if you will.
Yeah, I bet it was. It's so funny.
And I did it on the road. I did it at South By, and I've done it. And I always have a friend, a guest comedian, bartend it so that they can also serve me drinks, but also go like, you were talking about, like, keep reminding me what I was talking about.
Task. But but you're so likable, and then it makes it all very like you're like a normal guy. I think that's part of your charm.
Oh, thank you.
You are a normal guy, obviously.
Well,
all right, you guys, you can find this normal guy over at his website, gabrus.com, and also on Facebook. Oh, why I'm mentioning Facebook is because your banner picture is you nude covered in sushi.
Yes. It is. That's from like a sketch I shot like 15 years ago, but it's just a really funny image. And
it's so fucking funny.
And I may be big and strong, but that is not a flattering place for anyone to be, is to be fully nude lying on a slab with fucking hamachi on their balls.
I love it. Hey, there's some really famous shots of like, who was it in Paris? And was it Bob Dylan? And he's overlooking, no, maybe it was Tom Petty. Jesus. The point is they're on top of the Arc de Triomphe and they're looking out onto Paris, and there's a model on the rail, not the rail, but it's like a stone wall, and with, you know, naked with the sushi on her. As if it's, maybe it was John Lennon. I can't remember, but I'll look it up while you're telling the story. But the point is, it's very funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, you guys. You can also find John over on Twitter at Gabrus. Okay, wherever you are, folks, put your hands together for John Gabrus.
Oh, thank you, guys. Okay. Enough clapping. So much like most people, not everyone, but I lived with my parents when I was going through high school, and we didn't get along that well. We were good at being parents and child, but not good at being roommates. I was not a great guy to live with because I like to party and I like to eat, so I would finish things. And, you know, I was like living with like a fucking Labrador. You know, I was just like, oh, yeah, so much so that I used to get in trouble for going to the bathroom in the house. Not like dog in the house, like on the floor, but like if I would take a dump, if I were to shit in my downstairs bathroom, my dad would be like, Jesus Christ, Johnny, it fucking stinks in the house. What'd you do? And I would get guff. I would get shit for taking a shit. And my dad, he really was one of those super strict dads. He kind of looked like they used to call him the boy from Brazil. He was 6'5" with blonde hair and blue eyes. He looked like Hitler's like dream person. And he was I'm not going to compare him to Hitler, but he was a strict German man. And he's the type of guy that would like vacuum outside your door at like 9:30 a.m. on a Saturday and hit your door a bunch with the vacuum. Your mom did that too? Yeah. And it was just like pissed that you were still sleeping. He would like have to always get stuff from my room while I was asleep and would come in and like and clearly make more racket than he had to, just to be like, Johnny, get up for fuck's sake. It's 10 o'clock. Get out of fucking lump, blah, blah, blah. You know, I know this impression might sound like I have a cold or like Donald Trump, but that's what my dad sounded like. And that's why my mom loves Donald Trump so much. That and the stock market is just doing great. Isn't that all that matters? No. Well, I mean, maybe for a 60-year-old white woman. So we butted heads about a lot of things. My dad, growing up on Long Island, being was a son of a butcher. So the only thing that was positive for him in life was cold cuts. That was like a fancy night for them, is if they got to have cold cuts because they were so poor growing up. So for us, cold cuts were a treat, and we always had cold cuts in the house. And my dad, you know, the most Long Island shit, he would only go to one. I gotta go to Enzo's on Sunrise Highway in Massapequa, because Enzo's, and he bought Boar's Head. So it's like that's this a ubiquitous product. You don't have to go to two towns over. Now, I know what you're saying. Oh, two towns to go to a deli. That's no big deal. In Long Island, that is, because every town has nine delis, like bagel shops, CVS's, and Italian ice stores. That's like what every Long Island town has, like three of each. So to drive, like his drive to Enzo's would be past 15 delis, also selling boar's head. So he, but cold cuts were a big thing. It would be like when you would come home at late at night from drinking, Jody, make yourself a sandwich. Come home from football practice, Jody, make yourself a sandwich. Dinner's not for a couple hours, make yourself a sandwich. Dad, what are we doing for dinner tonight? Sandwiches, make yourself a sandwich. My dad worked nights often, so my mom would be like, just make yourself some sandwiches and make sure you put turkey or lettuce on it, because that was my mom making us healthy. White bread with bologna and a slice of... I remember one time she snuck a slice of lettuce onto a sandwich, and we're like, this is not going to salvage eating a bologna and cheese with mayo sandwich. So also at this time, it's the summer, so I'm home a lot, and I have a job. I got a job at 16, and I had that same summer job, some version of this summer job, for 10 years, and it was the best job I ever had. I was a lifeguard. I started at pools and ended up at the beach, Jones Beach on Long Island. Shout out to Field 6. And I, like, 16 years old, this story all takes place when I'm 16. All that stuff I was saying about my parents happened my whole life. But when I was 16, I was a Town of Hempstead lifeguard at Far City Pool in Wantagh. Shout out. And I went to some of the older lifeguards invited me to a party. And I'm 16. I haven't been to, like, I've gotten drunk with my friends at a park on the weekends, which is like the most middle class. I lived Dazed and Confused. We just get drunk on the weekends until the cops came and everyone knew what fences were easy to climb. I went to a lifeguard party, and there was a little backstory on how I became a performer. I found that making people laugh really intrigued me, but then making attractive women laugh extra intrigued me when I was like 13 years old. And I now tie all of it together, and I'm fucked up. I get it. I have an attention problem. But I go to this party, and there's some of the girls that I lifeguarded with that are a little older. I'm 16. They're in college. They're like, so they're hosting a party at their house, and they're like the type of girls who wear jean shorts, a lifeguard hoodie, and drink tall boys and like chug. And I'm like, these girls are amazing. And I'm falling in love with every single one of them. I'm like, this is my dream. Older women, and we're all drinking together. And then I was a big fan of Stone Cold Steve Austin at the time. I could really place my age. And he used to chug beers from like arm's length away. So I started doing that. I knew I could do that because I did it with water and chocolate milk in my house growing up. So now I knew I could do it. I was like, I could probably do it with beer too, because I'm a big chugger. So I start chugging beer, and I'm like, holy shit, I can really chug beer. So then I start doing Stone Cold Steve Austin style, and I'm pouring it from like arm's length. And these girls, and I will leave out their names because I still remember who they are. They were, and they later became good friends of mine, but I was like, these girls are laughing at me. They're in college. They're like, you're so funny. Oh my God, you can really drink. And I keep, and I'm like getting caught up in the praise cycle, that I start eating like fucking crazy and drinking like crazy. And, I should probably tell you how important cold cuts were, because now I'm just remembering one more aspect. Maybe it's the early morning reefer. my dad would get so many cold cuts, like pounds and pounds and pounds of cold cuts, and he had specific orders for everything. Like, it'd be like a pound of turkey, a pound of roast beef, a pound of bologna, all sliced thin, a pound of American sliced thick, roast beef. And then he would start ordering like the Italian meats, like subusa, capicola, mozzarella, bordello, you know, where we leave off the last letter, because that's something us little Ginzos did growing up. All right. That's important. You'll see why later. Cut back to my party. All the girls, and now I'm shit faced, and I haven't been this drunk yet in my life. I'm 16, and this is the drunkest I've ever been, because I would try to impress a girl. That would be a recurring pattern for 20 more years. And why am I saying it like that? You have like professional storytellers on the show, and then I sing into the microphone. I get home, and now this is where the storytelling switches from first person POV to the next morning real. I don't know this is happening. I'm later informed this via my parents and via a police report. No, I'm just kidding. But I come home, I break my key off in the door, and the door unlocks, and I go inside, and I do remember this part, saying to myself, you gotta fix this in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then just closing it and going into the fridge and getting a bunch of food. I remember I just ate some stuff out of the fridge, and I was like, oh, this, because that's what I did when I came home drunk. I would make myself a sandwich. So I made my, you know, whatever, yeah, blah, blah, eat some food, pass out. Next morning, I hear, you know, my dad pacing around the house. It's like a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning. He's pacing around the house. I hear him like opening and closing drawers. He's opening and slamming the fridge kind of loud. And he's coming in and out of my room. And I'm like waking up, and I'm like, fuck this. I'm just going to pretend I'm asleep. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to go to sleep. And then he's like in and out of my room. I'm like laying there with the blanket over my head. And he's like, Jody. And I'm like refusing to pretend. I'm like, just stay asleep. He can't get mad at you if you're asleep. But he goes, hey. And I'm like, what? I roll over gingerly, and I'm like, what is it, Dad, pretending to be like super tired, which I was mastered as a child, when I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. Was I bad tonight? My bad. This is too much information. This is only for my therapist. My mom. So then my dad's like, did you eat the cold cuts last night? I was like, yeah, I probably had a sandwich. He's like, did you eat all the cold cuts last night? I'm like, no. What do you mean? He goes, I just went shopping, and I bought a pound of bologna, a pound of turkey, a pound of roast beef, a pound of super sack, capicola, you know, mortadella, all that stuff. And I'm like, no, I didn't. All right. Maybe I have two younger brothers, so I throw them under the bus, as you're supposed to, as one of three. I'm like, maybe Justin or Jason did it. And we're all J names. I know. Cute. And I'm like, maybe Justin or Jason did it. He's like, I hear him like storm into another room. Jay, did you eat? I didn't eat anything. All right. And my dad comes in. He's like, get up. You go to Edzo's and you buy more cold cuts. I'm like, Dad, I didn't eat all the cold cuts. I know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, the kitchen was a mess. I'm like, I didn't eat all the cold cuts. All right, fine, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then he's like, get up, you go to Edzo's. I'm like, Dad, and he's getting angrier and angrier. And like, if you've ever seen a 6'5" Aryan get furious, he goes from white with blue eyes to red with blue eyes. And he looks like a fucking Pikachu. It's insane. And then all of a sudden, he just goes, Jody. And he rips the blanket off me, which is what he used to do when I really wouldn't get up for school. And when he rips it off of me, I look down, and stuck to my chest is the biggest fucking sandwich I have ever seen. I'm not exaggerating. It's like, and it's bread, meat, cheese, bread, like a Dagwood. And it's bread, and then it's turkey, roast beef, ham, mortadella, super sauce, all of it. Giant ass fucking sandwich on my chest. And my dad's furious. And it's like, there's mayonnaise, and it's clearly only got one bite taken out of it. That's the worst part. And it's got 4 to 5 pounds of cold cuts. I just must have put them all on there. And my father's like, Jody, you go to the fight. And he's so mad, but he's just like, you gotta go buy. And I jump up to start getting dressed to go buy, and the sandwich doesn't move off my chest. It's like mayonnaise spackled to my breasts. And I'm like running around with the sandwich stuck to my chest. I'm like looking for my, I'm like, where are my pants? Where are my pants? And then we just fucking blow up. And so that's when I realized that, like, my dad wasn't the difficult one to live with. I was the difficult one to live with. You would punish your dog if they did what I did. And I was a human.
Where does he live now?
He doesn't live at all.
Okay.
Now.
He passed away.
He passed away 6 or 7 years ago. Yeah.
My father did in 2014.
Yeah. Mine was 2011, I believe, because it was the year of my wedding. Yeah.
Had he ever heard this story, though?
Yes, he had heard a version of this.
And did he think it was funny?
He did. He did find it funny. One thing, as much as I am unpacking about him with my therapist and whoever will listen once I start getting high or getting drunk, one thing about him was he was funny. He was awful sarcastic, but very, very funny. And he gave up laughs. If you made him laugh, he would laugh. Yeah. He was so strict about everything, but the only thing he wasn't ever strict about, believe it or not, and now this is weird, The only thing he wasn't ever strict about were movies and like comedy.
No,
and so that's all I end up doing in life is the two things my dad like kind of allowed.
I can't even believe how many similarities there are between you and I. My father was so much exactly what you're talking about. Were you Catholic?
Yes, but my dad wasn't religious, but my mom was very Catholic.
Because like my father loved All in the Family. He loved soap, and he loved exactly what you're talking about. Like he loved going to the movies. He loved anything with, you know, Clint Eastwood. He loved all the action. My dad.
That's how I ended up hosting this the podcast Action Boys was one of the only things my dad and I bonded over was action movies. Was
interesting.
Steven Seagal, Van Damme.
Yeah.
You know.
My
Bronson.
Dad. My dad leaned more toward like the Clint Eastwood and the car chase movies.
Yes, of course. Bullet.
Yeah, yeah. Stuff like that. Exactly.
French Connection.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff. But my dad also loved all that television, like soap. And All in the Family, and we would have to go to church. And I remember one time the priest talked about, on the sermon part, talked about how everybody in the congregation should write to ABC because this show, Soap, has a homosexual character on it. And I remember looking down the pew past my brothers and sisters, and there's my dad, and I'm thinking, we watch that every week.
Yeah.
You love that show.
He doesn't seem evil.
Right, exactly. And same with All in the Family, which was such a truthful show. And my dad also loved Dick Van Dyke and then, of course, loved Johnny Carson. And so I would fall asleep every night to the sound of that show.
Yeah, my dad, I remember one time I really liked some comedy movie. And my dad said to me, and I was very young, and I feel like this is like my superhero origin story. He goes, oh, you thought that was funny? Let me show you a movie. And then he showed me Monty Python, Search for the Holy Grail.
Oh, yeah.
And in that moment, like, and I didn't know it at the time, but then it cracked me open, and I would later eventually just be, that's my, you know, peak
go-to
comedy.
Go-to movie. Yeah. I still have quotes from that what my dad would tell me about is, you know, that he would talk about as well. And that one, and also History of the World, that was,
oh,
that
I love History of the
was
World.
Was also absolutely
the
amazing.
Ethiopian Shim Sham.
Yeah. And then also, my dad also loved like the Waiting for Guffman and all the documentaries as well.
My dad would later get into all that. I would get him like into Cable Guy and the Jim Carrey movies like Dumb and Dumber.
Love Cable Guy so much.
Cable Guy is one of my favorite movies.
So dark.
There was a summer when it was on HBO. I can like pretty much track my entire development intelligence wise based on what movies were playing on HBO in the summer. Because I would just watch movies
binge
all the time.
Yeah.
And Cable Guy was on like once a day, one summer, and I loved it. Me and my brother would watch it every day. And then like once a week, he would sleep in my room on the floor, and we would just talk out all of Cable Guy. We knew every single line. We would literally go, wait, oh, we forgot something. Go back. And like remember the songs
that's
he sings.
Amazing.
Yeah, we were obsessed with that movie.
It is so fun.
And I didn't even get like one whole third of the movie, like the layer of satire and reference that I just missed completely.
It's so quick.
Yeah,
it's
now,
so quick.
Now
and
I get
every
it more.
Character but I was so like, defined.
I was like 15 just thinking it was the
funniest
thing.
I always think of the Janine Garofalo scene when she's at medieval times.
Yeah.
And they say, somebody says, can I get a fork? And she says, there are no forks in medieval times. So there are no forks in medieval times.
Yeah. And then she goes, yeah. And then they would go, you, oh, and then she goes, yeah.
Would you like a Pepsi?
Yeah. Pepsi or Diet Pepsi? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like everybody was so funny.
Yeah.
I felt that way about that movie and also Election around that time.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it was a few years later.
But still,
Election
great
was
movie.
Such a good movie.
My wife, then a girl I had a crush on in college, was the first person to show me Election. She was like, oh, you've never seen this? I'm like, no. She's like, you're going to love it. And
so
we watched
smart.
It. I was like, holy shit, this is awesome.
Yeah, so super smart. Hey.
The Cable Guy line that we always quote in my family is, you want a voicemail, you go, hey, it was just blow drying my hair. I thought I heard the phone ring. Does that ever happen to you? Weird. Call me. Talk about it. When he leaves like the 9 voicemails in a row.
Oh, yeah.
And then the last one's just like, fuck.
Yeah. Such a great movie. And Jim Carrey is just, he's flipping amazing. I just saw him recently. You know what it was on the Gary Shandling?
The doc? I watched it, yeah.
Which was an amazing documentary.
Amazing documentary. Jim Carrey's coat collar was distracting. I think he was wearing a woman's jacket.
He looked old.
He looked old. He looked good, but old.
I'm just saying, like, that's the first time I've seen him. Maybe just because, first of all, high-definition television doesn't do anybody any favors.
Oh, preacher, choir, and, sister.
And also, you know, he is getting older. You know, what the fuck?
We all are.
Yeah,
you can't. The alternative to getting older, by the way, is way worse.
Exactly. Yeah. So let me ask you, in L.A., have you ever found a place that you like to go in terms of a deli that would remind you of what your dad...
That's the thing. They don't exist out here.
Cantor's.
Yeah. Oh, Cantor's is great. But Cantor's is not really a cold cut deli. It's more of like a Jewish dine-in deli. You know, it's like a diner deli.
And same as Nate and Al's then.
Yes. Same as Nate and Al's. Like, I would say Bay Cities is probably the closest.
What's that?
Bay Cities Deli in Santa Monica, where they have the Godmother. Mm. The only thing I think they do weird is that they add mustard to an Italian combo, but it works for them.
Yeah. People get so specific about that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
my friend's mad at me when I put ketchup on my hot dog. He's like mad. He's offended.
Yeah, people think that one's weird. Ketchup on a hot dog is great.
I put ketchup on scrambled eggs.
Me too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I like that or hot sauce now. But do not put ketchup on steak. That's like, you can't do that.
You know what? I think it's to each his own.
Yeah. Whoa. Okay. Someone's planting their feet.
My mom. We have so many funny things in common. One more funny thing that cracked me up is your mom or your dad who would wake everybody up by vacuuming into the door, mm-hmm. making sounds and pots and pans going off.
Pots and pans was his big thing. I think it was that generation that is like martyrdom is like,
oh,
like
yes,
everything,
that's what it is.
Everything
that is
about
what
that
it
generation is.
Is
like, I'm making sacrifices. And then I think when they have kids who are in their teens, they're like, they don't understand sacrifice. So yeah. I'm going to remind them that I'm up. Do you know what goes into cooking dinner? Do you know what goes into cleaning the house?
My mom would be like, oh, it's 7:30 on Saturday morning. I've already taken the screens out of the windows, remortared the fireplace, and peeled the potatoes.
Oh, fuck it. And you know what else I'm never going to do to my children if and when I have them? I'm never going to remind them that money is tight and blah. Like all my parents did growing up was like, well, you know, we can't afford something like that. Or hey, close the fucking windows. You think we could afford something like that? It was just constantly being, we're like, I get it. We're not wealthy, but like, it's not our fault either. You know, like, you know how much it costs to feed three fucking kids? And you want to be like, now in hindsight, I wish I was smart enough to go, you had us. It's not our fault. Our parents were born.
Well, I don't know about your folks, but my folks, it was like, you know, the depression really.
Yeah.
You know, my folks were born like 35 and 32. So it was, when were your folks born?
50s.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm not going to be. I'm going to be honest. I was ready to lie. If we weren't recording, I would have lied.
We don't have that in common.
No, that's different.
I was also a lifeguard.
Oh, shit.
At 16, 17, and I was at the Conley's Motor Inn, and I was a lifeguard.
Where's that?
And it was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, nice.
And that was rocking, and then went on to lifeguard at, like, you know, like a gym pool and, you know, at the college, et cetera.
I worked at Hofstra in the off season, but I was a lifeguard from 16 through 23.
Do you still swim?
I still swim every once in a while at the WeHo pool. Shout out to any bear chasers. You can find me. You know where to go.
You know, swimming in the ocean is really great.
Oh, I go to the beach once a week.
Like, do you really? Good
at
on you.
At least once a week starting in March. Often, I'm going about six times a month, seven times
good
a month,
on you.
All
What's
summer.
Your favorite beach?
I go to Will Rogers Beach in Malibu. Yeah.
Yeah, Malibu's my beach too. I love that up there. I adore it up there. It's like my favorite place.
I just need the ocean. And I need it every like, no matter how shitty your week is, if you got to go to the beach that week, you could always say, hey, at least I got to go to the beach.
I took my daughter to Hermosa last week, and we went rented bicycles.
Oh, that's
it's
awesome.
It's like one of those things. It's just so simple. Like, for some reason,
so many people don't take
advantage. They put a block up about going across town or parking or whatever.
Yeah.
But really, it's so simple.
The amount of friends I have who have been living in L.A. for a number of years and have been to the beach, like, less than, you know, I have friends that have been here for 10 years and have been to the beach six times.
Wow.
That's insane.
That is insane.
That's
because I'm from Pittsburgh, since we're from the same climate, maybe that also is our, you know what, our appreciation. Hey, you know what's interesting is that your father, you said, was a tall German man.
Yeah.
And blonde.
Yeah.
Right? So you're not really blonde.
No, I look exactly like my mother.
Interesting.
My mom is a short, fat Italian lady.
My mom is a short, fat Italian lady.
Wow.
Interesting. We have too much in common. And I'm getting like, you know.
You're getting that weird.
What does Ginzo mean?
Ginzo is like a slur type word, but you can use it confidently about yourself. It's like another term for Guido, more or less.
Oh.
Like a Guido is not necessarily an offensive term. Someone could be offended by the term Guido, but some people are pridefully Guidos.
Yeah,
and,
I see.
Yeah.
But is that from Puerto Rico? Isn't that? No.
No. That's Guido. Is like an Italian American.
Like
who's
a
Scarface. Yeah, it's like Scarface. Or they are like Jersey Shore guys are considered Guidos.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Did you have chipped ham growing up?
No.
Chipped ham, because I'm from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no.
We had chipped ham.
And did you have Scrapple?
We did have Scrapple. That was more moved into the Ohio Valley region, yeah. I think. It was a little further west, but we definitely had a lot of chipped ham, a lot of bologna.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Big bologna household.
Braunschweiger.
What is that?
I never really liked it. It's like a paste. It's in a tube.
Oh.
It's like a spread. And it's German.
Yeah, my dad would always get liverwurst.
Like a pâté. That's what it is. It's like a liver pâté.
Oh, man.
And you could squeeze it in a tube, which is not very...
Which is not appealing.
Not appealing.
I try to minimize my ingestion of food via tube.
Here's what I wanted to say about your dad. Why did they call him the boy from Brazil if he was German looking?
That's because of there's that lifelong rumor. And then there's a movie called Boys from Brazil from the 70s. But it's a lifelong conspiracy and possibly true that the Nazis sent a bunch of their best top people to Brazil in a little white conclave to try to... inbreed and make, and they believe.
Remember that at all.
Yeah, look it up. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
you should see Boys
intense,
from Brazil,
man.
Too. It's really cool.
It
they try to clone
like
Hitler.
An epic thing, man.
They were sending their brightest minds to try to make a master race. And I think there is a bunch of people of German descent in South America now because of.
They landed there, as it were.
They made it. That's how they were hiding out from persecution, for war crimes, too.
Do you watch history documentaries and stuff?
I am intrigued by it. I don't watch enough. But I listen to a lot of nonfiction podcasts, so I enjoy.
You can learn so much right now.
I'm trying my hardest.
There's so much information.
I know, and it's so funny. As you get older, the more you appreciate learning, the less you have the capability to learn. You know what I mean? You still have the capability, but your brain is not as elastic. You have a worse memory. You have more shit.
Nobody can remember anything, man. I play tennis, right? And there's four people on the court. Fucking nobody knows the score. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, we do, but every once in a while, it's like, okay, wait, what? Okay, wait, what? And so you have to question.
That's something I completely understand.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
anyway, so I was going to say, you do get to work with so many interesting people like Lauren Lapkus.
One of the best.
And she's such a great comedian and an actress.
And she's... So funny.
So funny.
So
she
charming.
She plays the wife of...
the ex-wife of Pete.
The ex-wife of Pete Holmes on Crashing.
She was in Orange is the New Black. You know her from a lot of stuff.
She's so specific and so funny.
Yeah.
Did you ever want to do that New York comedy scene?
I did do New York UCB stuff, but never really the stand-up scene. But I've been a lifelong fan of stand-up. And that's maybe why I can't do it, because I like it too much and I'm not that... And I can't imagine myself being as good as the shit I grew up watching. So I kind of just skip it and do other shit like improv and podcasts.
But it could also, could it be the fact that it's harder?
Oh, that's definitely, I'm lazy.
I mean, in terms of
being
an actor,
it's more writing.
And if you can be an actor, make a living and get enough work.
Yeah.
Who wants to stay out until 11:30 and get an open mic spot at the laundromat? You
know especially once you're married and in your mid-30s.
So, I wrote down, would you prefer stand-up or acting? But we just talked about that, in terms of acting is just so fun.
Performing
right?
live is so great. I would say I love doing I do ASCAT weekly at UCB, and it's to me, getting to do that is makes all the auditions that I fucking bombed make me, just brush off, because I get to get laughs from.
And tell us how that goes.
That's a guest monologist comes in, tells a story, and then a group of improvisers find the comedy and all the stories. It's the longest running UCB show. They did it in New York forever. And
that
then,
is so fantastic. Did you do it in New York as well?
Yeah, I did it in New York as well. Yeah, I started there.
The room here on Franklin is so good. And then there's another room, right?
On Sunset and Western, yeah.
There's
that's
that
UCB
one.
Sunset.
There's
yeah.
that big, huge room.
Right, and then there's the little Inner Sanctum
cafe. I don't know the Inner Sanctum.
Yeah, it's like a little cafe theater little spot
there. It's good.
Yeah, no, it's cool. They have those shows are all free, and they always have weird
Amazing.
Shit going on there.
And it's just nice that it's there.
Yeah, and you can grab a kombucha, grab a tea, sit down at night.
Yeah, and I wish they had alcoholic beverages, to tell you the truth.
I think that was one of the reasons. I mean, I'm sure they're pursuing a liquor license.
Yeah, maybe they are.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, just beer. You know, I'm not talking about complicated.
Right.
Anything more
I still
than
think
a tap or a local brew. I'm not craft beer. I'm not a craft beer girl. I'll tell you that right now.
Thank you. Please tell me that right now.
I'm just saying, I want to be clear.
All right, I'm glad we got that out of the way.
You're so flippant funny. Listen, you, speaking of being funny, you've done Story Smash, the game show, twice now.
That's how we met.
And
yes.
You are so funny, John.
Oh, thank
honestly,
you. I'm blushing.
You are on stage.
My face is hot now.
You're not even doing material. You might just be making a reference or a look, and you're funny.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I've been, I enjoy making people laugh, and I'm kind of good at it, and yeah. I don't know how to,
effortless.
I'm not good at taking compliments.
It looks
yes.
very subtle and yes. very effortless.
Yeah.
So you have found like you're in
well,
your,
you know what it is?
Your wheelhouse. That's
yeah.
what they say.
I'm not a particularly good actor, so I just have to be myself.
Yeah.
And when I'm myself, I'm very comfortable. So even if there's people on stage, if I'm in front of people, as long as I'm being myself, I'm always pretty comfortable.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes shows like Curb Your Enthusiasm and stuff like that, where everybody's just being themselves and comedy Bang Bang. And, you know, there's different shows where everybody's just kind of being who they are.
Yeah.
It's so much more interesting. I mean, not always, because it depends. I really wouldn't want to see you in a drama. I mean, maybe I would, but
yeah,
I don't
like
know.
A psychosexual thriller?
Well,
like
know.
Jade? I would love to be in a Jade
Interesting
reboot.
You should say that, but look at like Robin Williams. I mean, look how at some of the more serious work
Fisher
that he
King
did.
Fisher King was one of the best.
Well, and Insomnia. Do you remember that one?
The Christopher Nolan movie with Pacino.
Up in Alaska. And that was kind of one of those heart-racing movies that sort of reminded me of a 1970s movie, and then it was sort of drawn out.
Yeah, small cast.
They left some space in each shot, and that was a really good movie.
I love it. I love Robin Williams. So, big fan.
All right, so speaking of comedians, who did you love then growing up? Robin Williams?
Robin Williams, Dumb and Dumber, but the people who really, I think, spoke to me the most comedy-wise would be like McKay and Ferrell, because I was a little older, so they weren't like my formative years, but they were when I started to like study comedy.
Adam McKay as the filmmaker.
Yes, and Will Ferrell, the stuff they did together. Because Anchorman was like one of my favorite movies
amazing.
I've ever seen.
They broke so much ground, so much funny stuff.
This is maybe too much information, but Anchorman, I was laughing so hard in the theater during that I was worried I was going to piss my pants, and I was like squeezing my dick so hard, and I was still laughing so hard that pee was coming out, and I was like peeing into my pants. I was like 17 when that movie came out.
No, I totally understand.
Or something like that. And then when I saw Step Brothers in the theater, that's when I said to myself, like, no, undoubtedly what I want to do in life is comedy. This movie made me laugh. It like fucked me up so bad. I can still watch Step Brothers and laugh my fucking ass off.
Yeah.
And it's lowbrow, it's highbrow. It's John C. Reilly's an amazing actor, Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
And then you know, like, it's just so fucking amazing. Catherine Hahn, who I love, I'm in love with. Yeah.
You know, when I get together,
Adam Scott's so funny as
the
brother.
Yeah, they have such a string of movies. They're all successes. It's all good stuff.
Yeah.
When I would be with my sisters, I have four older sisters, and we would do things together like.
You're the youngest.
I'm the youngest of six.
Okay, so I'm the oldest of three.
Oh,
boys.
Interesting. So
but
that's
we're all,
different.
You're all girls? We're all boys?
I have one boy. There's one brother. But we would get together for like a haunted hayride or something around Christmas, cutting down the Christmas tree.
Haunted hayride
or whatever.
Around Christmas?
No.
Yeah, you guys are like pagans.
Family gets together. Okay, so let's say it's Halloween time and we happen to be together and we would go out together and we would all have to wear like panty liners because we knew we were going to laugh so hard. So it's like you have to prepare yourself and put a liner on.
Something to keep in mind.
That's something you
so
might want to do.
Next time McKay and Ferrell make a movie together, I will bring diapies.
So listen, you're really good on Story Smash, and thank you so much again for doing it for us.
Thank
and you'll
you.
Have to play again, okay?
Oh, I this has been amazing.
Yeah, well, Story Smash is going all the way. I'm telling you, this is going to be on network television. You're going to be a guest. It's all going to happen.
Oh, I can't fucking wait. You know I'll do it.
Don't you think people can really get a lot of information out in 1 minute?
It's difficult, but yes.
And in 2 minutes and 3 minutes. I mean, that's what we have. Those are the times for Story Smash.
Oh. I mean, I could do a lot of amazing things in under a minute.
Hey, man, thank you so much for coming on Storyworthy today.
Oh, thank you
really
so much for having
so
me.
Much.
You're a wonderful host.
Oh, you're so kind.
Both in the the job of hosting a podcast and in the hosting of someone arriving
to
you.
The hospitality.
The hospitality.
The hospitality is what
hospitality,
they call it.
Yes.
Interesting, interesting. Yeah. And join us next week on Storyworthy for the funny and talented Jennifer Valley.
Now, I was what was called the arm. I was not on camera. I was just the arm you would see holding the mic flag. And then they would cut the piece around whatever the celebrity said, you know.
Don't miss Jennifer Valley next week on Storyworthy. All right, you guys, I want to thank everybody over at Wondery Media, including Hernan Lopez and everybody on the Wondery team. There's a team.
Oh, yeah.
And a big shout out to all the sponsors on the show today. Because really, you guys, when you support my sponsors, then you're supporting me, and I need that. And I really, really appreciate
it. Don't we all, sister?
I'm telling you what. And on behalf, again, of you, the very talented John Gabers, thank you so much
for having me.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Story Worthy on iTunes and visit the Story Worthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.